Well, good morning.
Welcome.
Good morning.
Welcome to the podcast.
Episode 52.
52.
Even though our sign back here says 50.
Yeah, you know.
We do need to change that. But we're on episode 52.
Nobody knew that sign was there until Marcy pointed it out. But
I noticed it last week.
That is true.
I didn't know it was there, so now that I do.
Now you do. Now it'll bother you. Yeah.
Yep. We all survived the hot
wings. We did. We're all back for more. That's right.
I'm not back for more hot wings.
No more hot wings.
We came back and we could still see some of the carnage on the tablecloth. So we had to switch that out a little bit. So that was quite the messy endeavor there. So
nobody told me that hot wings could actually make you dizzy. Mm. I did not know that.
Yeah, I experienced that a little bit.
I did.
I've never eaten anything that was so hot that it made me dizzy.
I was trying to walk up the stairs back to the office, and I was like, ooh, I'm a little dizzy. So,
yeah.
It was good.
Well.
But we all made it. Right, Aaron?
So you dug deep, and you found a part of yourself that you didn't know was there until you were pushed to that level that you had to bring it out.
Yep.
So.
And, you know, I went home and laid on the couch for a few minutes. I could feel the Carolina Reaper and the ghost pepper going at it in my stomach.
Now, the story behind the story is that we witnessed Aaron immediately after the Hot Wings contest eating Moo's barbecue. Yeah,
that's true.
So, and which, you know, who doesn't love Moo's? So shout out to Moo's. But you might have had a few other things going on there than just the hot sauces.
Very true.
So,
very true.
But...
All right, so trivia.
Yeah.
We had zero people answer our trivia questions.
So they were way too distracted by the hot wings last week.
I was distracted, too.
That's right. That's
so we're going to throw it out there again. Again, the trivia question, if you get it right, you get your name in a drawing for this nice Whey coffee mug.
You should repeat the trivia question.
Yep. The trivia question to win this nice Whey mug is, can you name three books of the Bible that the preaching team here at The Way has preached completely through in the last 10 and a half years.
Yeah.
So
there's one of two possibilities here. One is that people just decided not to answer. The other one is they don't know.
That's true.
And if it's because they don't know, then I'm going to feel a little sad about that.
So we should give bonus points for Aaron and I have been having a little debate here, and I am confident that Steve knows the answer to this.
Oh boy.
But
I'm being set up here, folks.
You are. So the next question is, what was the very first sermon series that you ever preached through? Like, what was the very first?
Romans.
That's what I said. You said,
I said Acts.
You said Acts.
I said Acts.
No, it was Romans.
What he said.
It was through the whole book?
It wasn't the whole book.
No,
right?
It was the first eight chapters.
And then we came back and we finished
it later. I felt like if we were going to be a gospel-driven church, people had to know the gospel. Hmm. And Romans 1 through 8 is the gospel. I mean, it's in great detail, but if you don't know what the point is and why people, so the Romans 1 verse 8 or chapters 1 through 8, it spells out the human condition. It works through the atonement, what Christ did for us. Romans chapter 8 builds to this place where, you know, we're given a spirit of adoption. So we have atonement, we have, well, you could say election, we have justification, we have sanctification. I mean, everything's in there.
All kinds of good stuff.
Yeah. And so I felt like as a church, if we were gonna fulfill our mission, we had to begin Romans 1 through 8.
So what was the first book you preached completely through? Do you remember that?
Wow. No, I don't remember that.
We'll have to go back.
Stay tuned. We'll get back to
you. Stay tuned. That's right.
I know that, like, when we did Acts, I split that up too. So I did Acts one summer and I did a portion of Acts. And then I came back to it.
Yeah.
And resumed it.
So you didn't win.
Why did I? No, because I said that we came back to it later.
So
we came back to Romans later,
now,
right?
Now, I will say,
didn't we come back to when we were in the new building?
No, I've never. I would love to do the rest of Romans.
Okay.
But the rest of Romans is, I mean, it's like diving to the bottom of the ocean as far as depth is concerned.
Okay.
I would love to
we're
do
giving
it.
Giving my free answers here, people.
But so John Piper, I think he spent 5 years on Romans.
Right.
And he kept coming back to, it's extremely in depth. I mean, you get to the point in Romans where you could literally spend 5 verses a Sunday.
Right.
Because it's just so meaty. And so, you know, I've not gone there on Sunday mornings, and I mean the Spirit hasn't led me there.
Right.
So I mean, I'm not saying that I won't. I would love to, on the day that I retire from being a pastor, I'd like to say that I preach through the entirety of the New Testament and the majority of the Old Testament.
That'd be great.
I would love to do that.
That's good.
But I got a lot of work to do because I think I'm getting pretty close to the New Testament, though.
We sat down and listed them, and there's quite a few that we've worked through. So
somebody asked me, are you going to ever teach through Revelation? And I'm like, oh, that's going to be a challenge. Okay. I have done End Times. Mm-hmm. I did a series on End Times. But
yep.
I think Pastor John White did a thing on Revelation when he was here.
Not the entire book.
Right.
I mean, that would take, that's 21 chapters. That would take...
It was not the entire book. So here's a question: when you complete a book or a sermon series, what process do you go through to decide what is next?
So as you get to the end of the series, you start paying attention to scripture that keeps coming up. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I think that it's a combination of things. I think on the one hand, you know, God is kind of, that's a process in which he, you know, kind of guides me in that things just start popping up. They start popping up. I hear it all the time. And it's just somewhere in my mind, it's like I'm starting to move in that direction. Mm-hmm. It's either that or I'm just in tune to it. And so I hear a lot of stuff, but for some reason that just lifts. Mm-hmm. So that's oftentimes, I would say that, you know, I do want to go, so if I go to the Old Testament, I probably wouldn't go 2 Old Testament books back to back, because I always feel like, you know, and I'll probably preach on the gospel. I mean, I preached on John, I think, more than once. Mm-hmm. Maybe not. I know that Paul Smith did a series on John. So, but anyway, I like to come back to the Gospels, and I like the New Testament because I feel like that's kind of instructions for us now and how mm-hmm. we're to live. But I truly love the... Part of my problem with the Old Testament is I just get so lost in it. Mm. So I give these messages on the Old Testament and I go off on this tangent, and sometimes people are just looking at me like, okay, because when you start connecting all the history and everything in the Old Testament, I love that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I think people are like, okay, you lost me like 10 minutes ago. And... Mm-hmm. So I got to be real careful with that too. So I don't know. That's kind of how I go through it. Awesome. And I feel like the Holy Spirit is taking us as a church on a biblical journey. And so it's kind of like, okay, Lord, what do you want us to teach on? What do you want to teach us? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so there's always that element of it as well. And so
let's talk about Mark.
Yeah.
Mark 4:21 through 41.
Yeah.
And are you multiplying? That was one of the questions I wrote down early on.
I think too that, you know, what was interesting for me, and you know, maybe Marcy with a master's degree in education can appreciate this, but the key to teaching is that, okay, so you give information and you give examples, but then you have to do it. Mm-hmm. So you have to apply it. And what you found in Mark chapter 4 is, and this is what really stuck out to me. So Jesus most likely didn't, I mean, he probably told the parables that are in the Gospels multiple times, mm-hmm. multiple times. And so when the disciples were actually, when it got to the point where they were in the boat, in the storm, they had heard these things multiple times. But I think just like we do, we hear stuff repetitiously and we're like, oh, that was good. Mm-hmm. But do we apply it?
Yeah.
Well, they had an opportunity to apply it, and what you found is that they kind of blew it to some degree, even though Jesus still blessed them and he still honored them. But it was like, and it was all in their attitude. That was the thing. So their attitude towards Jesus when the storm came up was not help us. Their attitude was, you're just going to sit there and let us drown?
Do you even care?
Do you even care? Mm-hmm. And, you know, That's not a question you ask God because you know that he does.
Right.
Even though we can. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it was really good. I'm just really blessed by this series in Mark. I'm blessed by, I've always liked the book of Mark as a cross-reference book, but I've never taught from it. And it's just, I just like the directness mm-hmm. of Mark and how things roll in it. So,
yeah, that's good. Yeah, that was one of the big takeaways for me too, just listening to the message and kind of being in the scripture and all of that, was just that big idea that the disciples have been hearing Jesus's teachings over and over and over. And then this storm comes up and now it's like, okay, what are you going to do? And I don't know that when things come up in our lives that we approach it like that, but we should. And so it's that, you know, when those challenges come up, it's that opportunity for us to look at life too and be like, okay, how am I going to take everything that I've been taking in or hearing, and how am I going to apply that right now? Like, how does that change how I act or react in this situation? And so I think that was just a good application piece too from this message.
And I think too that, you know, obviously Jesus, I mean, it's not like he kicked the disciples out of the boat for their messing up on the application,
right.
But he made it very clear that fear is the antithesis of faith. Mm-hmm. Faith and fear are at odds with each other. So, and that's, you know, so if we go back, and one of the parallels I made was this season that we're in, whether it be the election or whether it be the pandemic or whatever mm-hmm. it is, there seems to be this fear that's running rampant, which I think is rational to some degree. Mm-hmm. But the question is what do we do in our fear? Because
right.
fear, there should be a conviction that accompanies fear.
Mm-hmm.
And we should, you know, we should kind of sense this is an invitation for faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does that mean? I don't know. I mean, there's not like a, you know, this is what faith is. This is what it looks like. Faith is ultimately obedience and trusting God. But there just seems to be this acceptance of fear right now. And mm-hmm. it's like, well, you know, times are tough. We should be afraid. It's like, well, as Christians, we should be moving constantly between fear and faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like recognizing, you know what, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
So what do I do about it? Well, I need to go to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I got to know he's in the boat with me, and I got to ask him for help.
Yeah.
I got to have faith. And so this is kind of that challenge. But it seems like a lot of people just want to kind of walk in fear. And they don't like being told, no, you need to have faith. But that's what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good. It's a good application. And I think, you know, I guess on a personal level, you know, even as a leadership team, to say that we never fear is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I go back to when all the uncertainty was out there and we were trying to get to a place as a leadership team and a staff. I think we had to go through about a month or so of just trying to figure out, all right, what's Jesus calling me to do?
Mm-hmm.
And then come to grips with it and say, okay, I'm going to do this,
mm-hmm.
right? So like even opening back up, we opened back up not because we were taking an ideological position. We opened back up because it was the faithful thing that we were being called to do.
Right.
And so that's kind of what it looks like. But, you know, just to encourage people that are listening, you know, if you've been walking in fear for a long time, the answer to that is not the U.S. government. It's not the president. It's not the governor. It's not any of the answer is faith. It's mm-hmm. Jesus. And that's the important thing. That's how you battle against the fear is by getting close to Jesus and trusting him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. That's one of the things that you talked about in your message too, was just that idea that fear is not the sin. It's how we respond to it. And I think that just brings out that idea, just how our response in those situations just matters so much. And it's not, like you said, everybody feels fear at some point, and it's a natural human feeling or reaction or whatever, but it's how do you move in that?
Right. That and boat was going to sink.
Yes. Do you turn to Jesus and right. look to him for help, or do you doubt all the truth and the promises that he's given and everything that you know about him in those moments? So
I think an important thing to note and discuss too is, what are we doing before there's even fear?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing? And you know, you gave
the calm before the storm.
Calm before the storm, right? what are we doing in the calm before storm? Because if we're sleepwalking and we're doing nothing, what's going to happen when times get tough? Mm-hmm. You know, I can remember listening to a sermon by Kevin Corver, mm-hmm. and he said, you better get figured out right now who Jesus is in your life, because when the tough times come, it's too late.
You better have that matter settled before the hard times come.
Yeah.
The
two questions, right? What happens when I die, and who is Jesus?
Right. Those are the two. You need to have those settled.
Figure that out.
Before the storm comes.
Yeah.
So if in the calm before the storm, we are constantly in prayer, we are in fellowship, we're reading scripture, right? When the storm comes, does anything really change? I mean, but now we're equipped and we've been, it's kind of like athletics. We practice, right. And then when game time comes, all that practice pays off.
You know, and I'm not going to tell people what obedience is for them. That's the hard part, because everybody has to figure that out for themselves. But at the same time, I have concerns when people shift dramatically in crisis. Mm-hmm. Because to me, my question is that obedience, or is that just, is that a response in out of fear in the crisis?
Right.
So for example, in this particular case of the disciples in the boat during the storm, in the calm, they were told the mission. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The problem is in the crisis, they forgot. Mm-hmm. And they suddenly, so Jesus says, we're going to cross the other side. Okay, if God says you're going to cross the other side, you're going to cross the other side.
Right.
Right? So then the storms come up, and then they're like, we're going to drown.
Yeah.
And there's like, you wonder if Jesus is just like, I told you we were going to get over the other side.
Right.
You know, why do you doubt it? Nothing's changed. Let's just do it. And that was one of the one things I love, too, about Jesus as a leader. And obviously, he's God. So, I mean, he's going to do this perfectly. But what he said he was going to do, he did. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an element of a good leader, is somebody who doesn't lose sight of the mission when the crisis happens.
Right.
And you have to lead through and just say, this is our mission. We're going to continue to do this. I always remember Craig Groeschel at the mm-hmm. Leadership Summit. He says, in crisis, leaders have to lead.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you have to know where you're leading. Mm-hmm. And that's an important differentiation. So
if you could give me a blanket statement of what is a mission for a Christian, for a believer in Jesus Christ? What is a blanket statement that says this is their mission?
It's as great a commission. Of Christ? Go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the Great Commission. Now, the question is what's your unique version mm-hmm. of that? Mm-hmm. But that is it, somehow, some way. So for the way, to seek, invite, and welcome people in the unconditional love of God and share with them the good news about Jesus Christ, who's the way, the truth, and life. That's our mission, which is under the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. So our mission is not to hunker down and just forget about the lost and just ride this out till Christ returns or we go to him. That's not our mission, because mm-hmm. that's not what we're commanded to do. So if somebody has that for mission, you know, I don't know what to say. But it's got to fall under the main mission,
right?
You know, it's like when I was in the Coast Guard, our mission was search and rescue, law enforcement, and maintaining aids to navigation. It was not to go down to the Bahamas and find a nice beach spot to hang out. That was not our mission, right? As a police officer or a sheriff's deputy, you know what your mission is. It's not, and you know when you're moving outside the mission, and you know you're going to places that you shouldn't go. So it's important to understand.
So let's pull current events in.
Yep.
Presidential election last night, still not done, still hasn't been decided. But the mission, just like in our scripture, you know, the mission didn't change. The mission was to still cross the sea. No matter who's elected, the mission for mm-hmm. Christians and all believers doesn't change.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's the Great Commission.
It's the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. It's expanding the kingdom of God. It's living for Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's living as citizens of heaven and understanding mm-hmm. that right now we're going out and we're looking for lost brothers and sisters, we're looking for lost children of God, mm-hmm. and this is a matter of heaven or hell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you think that you know, times are bad now, mm-hmm. and that we're living in hell. You ain't seen nothing. Mm-hmm. Hell is beyond comparison. Mm-hmm. And that's what's at stake here. We're telling people the good news mm-hmm. about Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you right now, when Christians forget that, they just kind of lose their purpose. Mm-hmm. And then it just becomes this pursuit of life enhancement, and life is hard, so people get disenchanted. Mm-hmm. And I've said that time and time again.
And I think too, politics has a way to divide brothers and sisters. It has a way to divide mm-hmm. our country. And you know, I've been thinking a lot about this. What was Jesus' focus when he was here on earth? Was it to take down the Roman government? Or was mm-hmm. it to take down those that thought they were righteous?
Right.
Right? Jesus, it to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, seems like he spent very, very little time dealing with those in government leadership. And he spent mm-hmm. a lot more time dealing with those.
Well, Jesus said, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's."
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so there is this element as citizens of America, we have an obligation to participate, but we are ultimately citizens of heaven. Mm-hmm. And our homeland is untouchable by earthly things. Mm-hmm. And we just, you know, we're foreigners mm-hmm. in a strange land. We're in exile, mm-hmm. right? It's like when the Jews were in exile. That's as Christians, we are living in exile. And someday we'll get to go home, and then it will be like, oh, okay, yeah, this is what I was meant for.
Yeah,
you know, this is what I long for. So
I think too, along the lines of that contrast, the Jews were looking for a political Messiah to come. They were mm-hmm. looking for somebody who would come and overthrow the Roman government. And when Jesus didn't do that, then it was kind of like, oh, you know, that's not what they were expecting. Yeah. Yeah. And so, but that wasn't Jesus's mission. And so he stuck to his mission and he stuck to what he was called to do when he came to earth.
Right.
So.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, I look at our church and all the ministries that take place in the church, you know, like the ARC, you know, Operation Finding Freedom, Divorce Care, Alpha, all these different ministries that fall under the way, and they're going to continue to go out mm-hmm. and do the mission that they've been called to do, no matter what happens mm-hmm. in the next week. So, yep.
Well, and so the reason why we have our mission and our vision, so really, if you think about it, in our vision statement, we have a commitment to discipleship. Mm-hmm. In our mission statement, we have a commitment to evangelism, to the gospel, and because I do believe that, you know, obviously those things go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. So, you know, our vision to share biblical truth in a culturally relevant way mm-hmm. for those who seek to know the one true God by worshiping Jesus Christ. It's this picture. So our discipleship classes, even when people come to us and they want to have a Bible study or a discipleship class, it still has to fall under all of that. Mm-hmm. And that's important. So yeah, I mean, it's like a two-handed punch. It's like, okay, seek to tell people about Jesus and to share biblical truth with them in a culturally relevant way. Right. That's what we do.
Yep. So amen. Yeah,
good.
It's good.
My wife elbowed me during your sermon.
Was she listening with her elbow?
Well, she. She knows that I like to sleep. Like, sleep is one. I got to have it to function properly. Well, uh-huh. verse 38 says Jesus slept.
Yeah.
So.
In the middle of the store.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I think that that napping is a completely virtuous and righteous thing to do.
That's right.
And I, the older I get, the more I love a good nap.
There you go. Good.
So. I always wondered how my grandpa could just sit in the rocking chair and fall asleep.
My dad always used to.
Isn't it really Trisha who can do that?
My dad True. Used to say it's True. A clear conscience. So he would. My dad would sometimes fall asleep mid sentence. He'd be like, and then.
That's that.
That's what's interesting is that, you know, like my dad, he could actually go from speaking to snoring.
Just like that.
Just like that.
It's funny.
It's talent.
It is talent.
Well, you got anything else about the message, Marcy?
I think we covered it. It's good. Got your current events in there too, so.
Yep.
It's good.
So now we move on to theology. Yeah.
Aaron, you ready to talk about theology today?
I'm ready to lead the conversation.
There you go.
Ask some good questions.
So we're about ready to talk about something that people don't think about or they're not concerned about.
Not really.
But yet it's still very interesting. And even sometimes if you bring it up amongst people that know theology and you use the term trichotomy or dichotomy, they look at you like,
What are you talking about?
I don't even know what you mean. But in Wayne Grudem, under the doctrine of man, he goes into this notion of, is man three parts or two parts essentially? So the difference, dichotomy obviously is two parts. Trichotomy is three parts, and so you have a body, right? So we know that human beings are body, but then the question is, you know, so what your essence? So what part of you, when your body dies, what part of you lives on? And trichotomy says that your soul and your spirit, which is mentioned in Scripture, are actually one. They just kind of change. So sometimes they'll refer to it as a spirit. Sometimes they'll refer to it as your soul.
Dichotomy.
Did I say trichotomy?
Yeah.
Okay, dichotomy.
Says
trichotomy. Trichotomy says that your soul and your spirit are different. So your body, your soul, and your spirit. Mm-hmm. And that when you are regenerated, what's awoken in you is your spirit mm-hmm. and not your soul. Dichotomy says that when you're regenerated, your soul, the soul and spirit, which are interchangeable in Scripture, that essence is that's what's awoken mm-hmm. and brought to life.
Yep. There you go. There's the teaching in a nutshell right there.
So the question is what difference does it make?
Or trichotomy? Yes. Why should we talk about this?
Well, and I think that just when we talked about this a little bit, so to me, the biggest difference is the question is, so if you go, let's go to trichotomy and let's separate soul and spirit. So what is the essence of the soul? What is the essence of the spirit? And oftentimes people will throw in intellect and emotion mm-hmm. into your...
In your will.
Into your soul, mm-hmm. right? And your will, that's right, mm-hmm. and your will. And then the spirit. So you can actually kind of in your mind say that there's a conflict between your spirit and your soul because the spirit is what's awoken and is actually more in line and in tune with the Holy Spirit. And so your intellect can be something that, you know, so like, for example, studying theology, mm-hmm. that's an intellectual pursuit.
Right.
There is a spiritual component to it, but you have to be careful because, you know, you can only invest too much in your intellect.
Right.
Because it can actually be at odds with your spirit. Mm-hmm. And I think that's worth talking about because I struggle with that concept. I think you have to be careful on what you're feeding your intellect, mm-hmm. Because there's definitely a doctrine of man, and there's a wisdom of man that's very clearly set out in Scripture that is foolishness, and so you just have to be careful. But at the same time, Scripture also talks about we are developing the mind of Christ,
right.
And so there is a way of thinking. You know, Scripture talks about let the Holy Spirit change the way that you think, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, there's kind of this pursuit in there. And some people are naturally more kind of whimsical, and some people are naturally more kind of intellectual. Mm-hmm. And the question is can we benefit each other, or do we look at one and say, you're wrong, or look at the other and say, you're wrong? So if you're an intellectual person, well, that's soulishness. If you're a whimsical person, it's like, well, you're just going off the deep end. You know, you're just too far out there. When, you know, people are just kind of geared differently. Mm-hmm.
So if I'm someone that wants to feed my intellect, how do I know how to feed that or what sources I should be feeding that with? Because there's a lot of good stuff out there and there's a lot of garbage out there too. So how do you discern, am I feeding my intellect with false teachings or maybe, you know, half-truths versus biblical truths?
Yeah. Well, I think that you have to be very mindful of its effect. Obviously, as a Christian, you shouldn't place anything above the Word of God. Mm-hmm. So your primary source of fueling your intellect should be the Word of God, yeah. right? Obviously, there are ungodly or not ungodly, but there are secular things out there that are intellectual that, you know, I don't think that you should shy away from per se. I listen to discussions and debates that are on topics that have nothing to do with God because mm-hmm. I'm just curious to hear what people talk about. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like as an evangelist, it's in my best interest to be culturally relevant and understand mm-hmm. what people are dealing with, thinking, and talking about. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's kind of an intellectual mm-hmm. pursuit. But I never put anything above Scripture.
Right.
And if I ever run into anything that conflicts with Scripture, I submit to the authority of Scripture. Mm-hmm. You know, so
I think too, you know, we've talked about having mentors in our lives, you know, people that are further along mm. in their mm-hmm. path in their faith than we are. You know, those are resources and people in our lives that yeah. can say, hey, I think that would be a good resource for you to, you know, grow in your walk, or hey, that might not be so good for you. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. And I will say I've seen people derailed by going down a path of intellectualism and, you know, it's somewhere along the line, they lose track of the spiritual side of it. Mm-hmm. I've seen people get into a place of stagnation, complacency, or even, you know, struggle with the crisis in faith. Mm-hmm. And I think it all depends on what you're listening to. So here's a great example. Have you ever heard, I should have thought of this. I just thought of it. I think his name, is it Cartwright? He was the partner of Billy Graham. So Billy Graham, mm-hmm. when he was a young evangelist, he was working very closely with another evangelist, and the two of them were like this tag team mm-hmm. partnership. Well, as you follow the careers of both, The other guy, he just went down this path of intellectualism, mm-hmm. and he rejected the Bible, and he just he became an atheist. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Billy Graham continued, and he went down this path. And I think that's something you have to be careful of. Don't put the wisdom of man over the wisdom that's exhibited in Scripture. Mm-hmm. You know, so
yeah, that's good.
That makes sense. So, yeah, do you feel like you understand trichotomy and dichotomy now?
Sure.
A little bit, right?
A little bit.
So here's a question for you that Wayne Grudem brings up. So here's a trichotomist argument, is that animals mm-hmm. have souls but not spirits. So the spirit aspect is the one thing that separates human beings from all the rest of creation. So, mm-hmm. so the question is, do you believe... So let's talk about dogs.
Right.
Do dogs have souls? It depends. I mean, if you're a trichotomist, you can say yes, but they don't have spirits. If you're a dichotomist, then you have to say no, mm-hmm. they don't. Because it's actually the soul that lives on.
Right.
You know, people sometimes have asked me, they're like, do you think my dog went to heaven? And I'm like, I've had like 12 dogs in my lifetime. So I don't think when I get to heaven, I'm going to be greeted by 12 dogs. Yeah, I just don't think.
Or 12 cats.
Well, we've had farm cats, so never indoor house cats.
I've heard.
There is one cat that we had that I named Rambo that I would love to see in heaven. He was one tough cat. Maybe, you know, but what made him cool is that he had pieces of his ear missing and his tail was gone just from fights. And
Been in a few fights.
So that, but I mean, in heaven you'd have to think that all that would be back, you know. So I don't know. I don't think that animals have souls. I don't believe that, and I know that that's an offense to animal lovers. But I'm an animal lover.
Yeah.
I just don't think that they have brains. They obviously have minds, and they can be taught things, and they can remember things to some degree. But do they have a soul mm-hmm. that's eternal? I just don't believe that. Mm-hmm. You know.
I agree.
But that might be offensive to some people, and that's not my intention. It's just, can you imagine if all the domesticated pets are in heaven waiting for their owner? That would be crazy. And you know, where do the farm cats go? Because the farm cats, you know, half
poor
of them.
Farm cats.
Yeah. Just farm cats running rampant.
Disappeared anyway.
And then the question is it only domestic animals that have souls? Do mice have souls? What about cockroaches? Do they have souls? Where does it end?
Right.
You know, the animals that I love have souls.
Right.
Okay. The animals that I hate don't. You know, it's like, okay. All right. And it just goes down this path. And I don't mean to be argumentative or sarcastic, but you have to kind of, when you're working on theology, you have to kind of work it through and play it out in other areas. And if you believe that domesticated animals have souls, then you have to believe that all animals have souls. Mm-hmm. And that to some degree, those souls go to heaven. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, maybe cats don't go to heaven. I'm sorry, cat lovers.
I knew it was coming. Oh, I knew it was coming.
Dogs I could see going to heaven. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. You know, yeah. I kid.
Well.
Yeah.
Answer our trivia question, comment below. You know, I just want to encourage people, as the next week unfolds, you know, the mission of believers doesn't change. And we are called to be disciples and create disciples and love others. So go out and be the church and don't get wrapped up in all the division and hate and anger. And
no.
Be a representative of Christ throughout the...
I think it takes a lot of maturity and it takes a lot of discipline mm-hmm. to have an opinion, but know when to hold that tightly and when not to. Mm-hmm. I.e., you got to know which hills to die on.
Right.
Right? Don't die on the wrong hills.
Don't die on the wrong one.
There's certain hills right. It's just like, you know what? God will take care of that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, have a good week, and we'll look forward to seeing you with episode 53.
We'll change the sign next week.
So.
Huh?
Oh, announcements.
I do have announcements. Shall I put announcements in there quick?
Marcy has announcements.
Announcements. Middle school and high school youth tonight. Men's and women's ministry tonight. Friday. Do you want to talk about Friday, Aaron?
Men's and women's ministry is tomorrow, isn't it?
Did I say tonight?
You did.
I'm sorry. I meant tomorrow. Thursday.
We're going to have to
retape
the whole episode
ministry now. On Thursday. Friday. Aaron, you should talk about Friday.
Yeah, so Friday is Operation Finding Freedom. Ministry for Veterans. We meet first Friday of every month. This month, we're actually going to be Zooming that meeting. We're going to do it in person here in the Discipleship Center. But if you're not comfortable coming or you're away, you can still tune in via Zoom. If you want to get the Zoom login information, contact the church. You can either contact Nicole or Jen, either through email or through phone, and we'll get you that login info. That starts at 7 o'clock on Friday.
There we go. Very good.
I would also say that, you know, we made an announcement on Sunday about mm-hmm. the church plant, New Creation Church. Mm-hmm. Excited about that. Robbie and his family are, and we're planning the church in Newton. I think it's important, you know, so we're going to have an informational meeting on Sunday starting at 12:30 if people want more information on that. But one of the things that I would say is that, you know, obviously, so Robbie is the director of Discover Hope. And I think that he, you know, I mean, obviously he's become a pastor and he's been praying for years about a discernment, about planning a church. And for Robbie, he still sees a portion of the community of Newton mm-hmm. that he has a heart for mm-hmm. and he wants to reach out to, and it is people of Discover Hope, you know. So this is not to be confused with Discover Hope. Discover Hope is an addiction recovery ministry that is completely mm-hmm. independent of all this, and they're going forward and they're doing amazing things helping people mm-hmm. with addiction recovery. But then it's like, okay, so then when it comes time for them to form a faith-based community, And you know, where is a place where they can start to go to church? Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, anywhere they can go to church. But they've already formed a fellowship, and they've already kind of formed the. And so Robbie, he just kind of saw this group of marginalized people in the community that he has a heart for, and he wants to reach out to. And some of them are church people that are disenchanted, and you know, so this is why he's feeling called to do it. And this is why we as a church are supporting this, and we're a part of this, mm-hmm. and we're excited about what God's going to do. And you know, obviously, we love Robbie, love his family. It's always a mixed bag because I know the struggles mm-hmm. that go into planning a church, but at the same time, there's just so many blessings and wonderful things that happen. But if you're interested in more information, they do have a website up now.
I think you can find the link off of our website.
You can find the link off of our website. Yeah, they have a Facebook site. But they're going to have, Robbie's going to have an informational meeting and at 12:30 on Sunday. And, you know, if you have questions, come with him and he'd love to answer them.
You know, what I think is interesting too is if you would talk to Robbie, he would tell you he thought he would be planting a church in another community.
Right.
But just the man prays, he fasts. And God just kept bringing him back to Newton over and over and over again. And, you know, this is where God has called him to plant the church. Mm-hmm. So yeah. This is where it's going to happen.
And what you're going to find, you know, one of the things about churches have different personalities. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like people. And some people feel more attracted to different personalities. Mm-hmm. And that's, so we're, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, being obedient to what God is doing and just forming another body that can serve the kingdom in our community. Mm-hmm. So, more information on Sunday.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. It's exciting. I'm excited yet at the same time. I'm like, oh, you guys, I love you. I hope, I know what you're going to go through. You know, sleepless nights, a lot of work, a lot of, but it's so rewarding.
Yep.
You know, we look back, all three of you were here when the way began.
Yep.
And you just kind of look back, you know, you don't want to go through that again, but at the same time, you're like, those were good days. They were hard, but they were good.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We can even name the first sermon series.
I remember the first completed one.
I remember launching into a series on Romans
with that also.
And seeing this skeptical sheriff's deputy sitting off to the side with his arms crossed, kind of like,
yep.
Wondering, what's this going to be?
All right.
Who would have guessed?
Just following my wife to church. She was dragging me by the ear.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. All right, couple more things. Yes. Grief Share Holiday event on this Saturday from 9 to noon.
Yep.
So, you know, as we head into the holiday season, there's always, it's especially if you've lost somebody in the last year, but even if it's been longer than that, anybody is welcome to come to this holiday event. And it's just a good, just short one-day event to help get through the holidays. And so, especially with everything this year having been a little bit different, I think, mm-hmm. you know, that'll probably be a good, really good thing to be offering this year. So you can register for that on our website or just come on Saturday. So we'll be here and we'll be ready for you. Just a few other things. The ARC event is next week, Saturday. So they are going to be giving out coats to kids and offering a meal for families as well. So if you know somebody who would benefit from that, we would love for them to join us next week, Saturday. So that is the 14th. Yes, Saturday the 14th.
Or if you want to donate still, right?
Or if you want to donate still, yes, you can still donate.
I will say that we've been contacted by schools.
Yes.
So not only is there a need that's going to be served by the ARC event, mm-hmm. but we're also going to give coats to the schools.
Yeah, yep. So they know of some kids that have needs there too. And so we're going to work with the families who come, but then also schools that have been contacted.
Yeah, when you got a growing kid,
yeah,
that, keeping them in seasonal clothes is pretty expensive.
Yep. Yeah.
My kids don't grow very fast, so we don't.
Mine did.
We don't have that problem.
Well, especially when they get to a certain age,
later,
because
they need a new clothes.
wearing clothes to school that don't fit properly is not cool.
Right. Mm. Yes. Yep. So the only other thing that I'll say right now is just that Operation Christmas Child, we had boxes out on Sunday, so if you're interested in participating in that, you can still pick up a box and
you can pick them up during the week too.
If you're
not going to gatherings and you want to still do that, you can stop in during the week. The doors are unlocked.
Yep.
And then return the box.
And return the box. Yes.
Yeah. Make sure you sign the sheet so that we know where the boxes went.
Yep.
So
return the box.
So we can call you to tell you to bring the box.
That's right. We'll say, where's your box? That's right.
They're kind of cool boxes.
They are.
They're not the shoe boxes anymore.
Well, right? No, they're not the
paper
boxes.
They're like the plastic boxes, but then the benefit of that also is that kids and families can use those. Mm. It actually kind of becomes a tool for them to use, too. So kind of a double benefit there.
Win-win.
That's right.
Right on.
Yeah.
All right.
Close us out now, Aaron.
And now we can sign off.
Now you can sign off.
We'll see you next week for episode 53. Have a good week.
Bye.